This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Virginia's new state budget is almost complete. Lawmakers making a few final tweaks, but one of the biggest parts of the new two-year spending plan is pretty well decided: how much funding will be flowing into local public schools. After months of political wrangling, education now looks to be getting a bit more than originally proposed. But new rules dealing with teachers and pensions will also play a part, and those new standards could cost districts big bucks that many say they simply do not have. So what's the bottom line for Virginia classrooms? Will layoffs be necessary? Program cuts coming? Class size increased? Administrators from two of the larger systems in our region are here with us, as well as a researcher who studies Virginia government. But wherever you are located, we want to hear what's been going on in your school division as well. Our close-up look at school money begins right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. School money is our focus this hour. We have two high-level administrators from different school divisions with us at the moment. Superintendents from two other districts are to join in later in the hour. But since we have close to two dozen different local school systems in our broadcast region, we could certainly use your help if you've heard news about what's happening with funding in your local schools, or if you've got questions about how the state budget could affect you. Please do call us at 888-WMRA-TALK. That's 888-967-2825. A little later, we speak with the superintendents of Winchester Public Schools and Charlottesville City Schools, but joining us right now from the studios of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, the assistant superintendent for student learning at Albemarle County Schools, Billy Hahn. Dr. Hahn, thank you for making time for us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Here with us in the Insight Studios at WMRA, the superintendent of Harrisonburg Public Schools, Scott Kisner. Dr. Kisner, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And, of course, the man we so often turn to when we want a clearer understanding of what's actually going on in Virginia state government, James Madison University Professor of Politics and Public Policy, Bob Roberts.
Glad to be here.
So, Billy Hahn, let's go to you first over in that studio in Charlottesville.
Sure.
What's happening for Albemarle County Public Schools in terms of funding? Are you in good shape, bad shape, something in between?
Well, at the end of about this time of the year, every year, you've got to make the budget requests and the budget revenues get an equal sign in the middle. So we're at that point, but does that mean we're in good shape? I wouldn't say that. The VRS mandate from the state wreaked a lot of havoc on our budget this year.
VRS is the Virginia Retirement System. I have a feeling we're going to be hearing a lot about that today.
Right. That was a major...
For everybody who hasn't been following the headlines on this, tell us what happened to school districts as far as their pension system is concerned.
Well, what happened was that we got a mandate from the state that we do a 5-for-5 deal. And what that means is that our employees are now required to pay 5% of their retirement. And as a school division, we're required to give them a 5% raise. There were some options in that about you can do it all at one time or you can spread it out over 1% over the next 5 years or any combination in between. But within 5 years, it had to be completed. So that created a lot of havoc in school systems across the state.
In effect, as far as all school systems are concerned, you are being forced by the state to increase your salaries to teachers by 5%. Teachers are not going to see that increase in their paycheck because it automatically goes into the state pension system. But in terms of a school district's costs, you got to come up with 5% more in pay for all your teachers.
Well, I mean, we were paying the 5% retirement anyway. So instead of paying the 5% retirement for them, we're giving that 5% to them as a raise, and then they're paying their 5%. But that's not an even swap, because once you increase salaries, then the VRS and other parts of the expenses that go with employees goes up as well. So it's not an even swap on the 5-for-5. So it actually costs money. Over 90% of our funding deficit this year, it costs us about $5 million, actually 5.1 for the VRS implementation of this mandate. We were planning on giving our employees, we started off with a 2% raise, was what we had hoped for in the original funding request from the superintendent. And then at some point we had to drop that to a 1%. But now basically employees are get about a 0.32 raise because the other 0.68 is going to have to go in to help pay for the 5% VRS that's going in.
Scott Kisner, our friend Billy Hahn from Albemarle County, is a former math teacher. he probably can follow numbers and decimals better than anybody. But in terms of this overall issue of how you are affected by the new state budget and new state regulations about pensions or anything else, how's Harrisonburg City Schools looking?
Well, Harrisonburg, with the exception of having an increase of about 4% of our student enrollment, we would actually be in a very, very difficult situation. The way you are,
so your student population has gone up by about 4%.
It's gone up about 4%.
And that means that you get more money.
Correct.
Because you've got more students.
Exactly. So our school system, like Albemarle and the other two school systems, you'll speak to the superintendents. The increase that we received in state contribution is primarily going to this Virginia retirement system increase. And I think what also has to be reminded is that why are we at where we are today? Why on, you know, May of 2012 is this big urgency that we have to increase the VRS at this high level, the Virginia retirement system? And the reality is, and no one denies this, or if they do, they're not really being truthful, over years, the state hasn't met its obligation. And it hasn't met its obligation, so you have to fund it. You have to make sure it's solvent. You have to make sure people, it's a guaranteed pension. Harrisonburg is going to receive about $3 million more in state aid. We're actually getting less from the city, not because the city wanted to give us less. We actually asked for less. Harrisonburg is a well-funded community. I will tell you, coming from a pretty high-poverty school system.
Last posting was in Southwest Virginia.
Southwest in Martinsville, which is the highest unemployed area in Virginia, where they're spending about $8,200 per child, and we're spending over $12,000 per child. So, you know, from my fresh perspective, I cannot criticize at all the city's contribution to the school system. Saying that, though, we have growth. Those who are listening, I'm sure, are familiar with our school system. We have the highest percentage of children who speak English as a second language. Over 50 countries are represented in our school system.
That's some 40% of your student population.
That's about 40%. What they say the way I speak, maybe it's 51 languages. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but that's what people say. About two-thirds of our students are receive free and reduced lunch. And I guess what I'm most disappointed on the state budget, there's been very little discussion about what's right for children. School systems and need to look at what the investment we make in a community. I was just at a meeting at JMU and heard the figure was spending about $34,000 for a person to be in prison. We want to do whatever we can to make sure these kids get the high-quality education, become self-sufficient, and then become contributing members.
888-967-2825 is our call-in phone number. That's 888-WMRA-TALK. If you want to talk with school superintendent from Harrisonburg, Scott Kisner, assistant superintendent from Albemarle County, Billy Hahn, or politics professor from James Madison University, Bob Roberts. Bob Roberts, going to you. I think I heard something from Scott a few moments ago along the lines of why are we in this situation now? Part of what he was referring to are the new regs about pensions. But it seems to me there's another question that relates to why are we in this situation now? Because now, Monday, May 14th, 2012, the General Assembly is in session to deal with the governor's amendments on the state
right.
budget. And this is something that should have happened 2 months ago, isn't it?
Right.
So how do we get to that situation?
Because the governor has a budget, and the governor didn't want to raise taxes. And the Democrats wanted to raise taxes or additional revenue. They got into a stalemate. And ultimately, the legislature deferred to the governor. In other words, $85 billion is what we have to spend. A portion of that goes for education and no more. And what has happened in Virginia over decades is that the state simply has not increased its tax base enough to take care of increased demand.
So part of what school districts are dealing with is the new state budget is about 2 months late,
right,
because of political wrangling, and especially the divide, the even divide in the state Senate, 20 Democrats, 20 Republicans, right. Lieutenant Governor not allowed to, who is a Republican, right, to break the tie on budgetary matters. So there was lots of delay in getting your school district, Billy Hahn, and every other school district in the state, an accurate estimate of what kind of funding you were going to be getting. How did that affect you?
That affected us a lot in Albemarle County. You know, really, this VRS thing came in at the 11th hour in December, and we never got the details on it. We kept getting information, and then, you know, for example, in all localities, you want to try, at least we want to try to keep some commonality with our local government folks. Well, the local government folks, the part of that VRS thing was really strange for them, because at least we were told at some point that we could do it all at once or spread it over 5 years, but they weren't given the option of spreading it out until just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We actually got some really late news, and last week we actually held two school board meetings. We did an emergency budget session on Monday night, so that we could actually adopt the budget on Thursday night, because the meeting before that, we didn't have enough information to sit down and do the budget.
Yeah, I think Billy's raising a really good point. School budgets are developed in most cases back in the fall.
Right.
That's when we start the process. The governor presents his first budget around December 18th and 19th. Then he amended it in January. On March 10th, which happens to be a Saturday evening, this VRS agreement on the General Assembly site occurred, where most of us were out either in dinner, movies, or watching Saturday Night Live. So we wake up Sunday to find out that there's this VRS mandate, and budgets like Albemarle County, we were looking at a 2%, maybe a 3% raise for our staff. So then school divisions had to go back to do the budgets over again. Then there was, as you mentioned, wrangling and not an agreement. The city, we tried again to work closely with our city partners. So at the end of the day, to get to where we are today, a lot of cuts had to happen, a lot of reductions of initiatives that we thought would be in best interest for our students and, in many cases, for our adults. So
it's interesting to the technical aspect of raising everyone's salary is federal. In other words, you've got Social Security and Medicare. So when you raise everybody's salary, the employer has to pay more into Social Security and Medicare.
Right, right.
That's where your money comes from. And they're not paying you. They're not giving you that money. You have to fund that yourself, that social FICA, tax.
To move 5% over, it really doesn't help, because, you know, it's the same 5% that you were giving, you were paying VRS to start with.
Right.
But now when it becomes salary, now you have all the additional costs, which for us was about $800,000.
Right.
You know, it was huge. And, you know, not just the money side of this. I don't know, you know, how much you guys have thought about this. I know Scott probably has. But there's an equity side of this piece as well, the way the thing's written. So if you have a part-time employee who becomes a full-time employee, now they are subject, if you know, they're subject to the 5% happening all at one time. So anybody new to your system, while you could grandfather the current employees in and do it 1% at a time for 5 years, for new employees to your division, it was a straight 5%. So if you would have only given a 1% raise and not done the 5 all at one time, those people would be at a real disadvantage, and you would sort of be operating on two different pay scales. While the gross would be the same, the take-home could be different for two different employees based on whether you worked there last year or whether you were new along the way. So, I mean, there were so many complications that went along with this. Us sitting right here with Charlottesville City, you know, if we were to do a 1% or 2% and then Dr. Atkins over in the city was to do a 5%, well, now that sort of puts us in a recruiting disadvantage when we're trying to recruit, you know, teachers to come in, because, you know, they're paying more money and that employee is going to get the 5% sort of offset.
So if you've just joined us, one of the things that we've been hearing about is how new state rules about how to pay how much for the state pension system for local school teachers is affecting local school districts, something that people say is happening because for so many years the state underfunded the pension system. And then, of course, there is the delay in putting together a state budget. So if you have comments or questions about what's going on with school funding, we'd love to hear from you right after the break. Dr. Billy Hahn is with us by virtue of a hookup with the studios of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities in Charlottesville. Dr. Hahn is an assistant superintendent with Albemarle County Public Schools. Here in the Insight Studio at WMRA, Dr. Scott Kisner, who serves as superintendent for Harrisonburg City Schools. Also with us, Virginia politics watcher and professor of political science at James Madison University, Bob Roberts. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham. This is Virginia Insight, and I need to let you know that we have Dr. Kisner from Harrisonburg with us for only about 10 more minutes, and he has to get on to another meeting. So if you have a question or comment specifically for the guy in charge of Harrisonburg City Schools, please call us right now at 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. Or if you type fast, you probably can get a post in fairly quickly before Dr. Kisner has to leave us on our Facebook page, which is listed on Facebook as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Scott Kisner from Harrisonburg. Compare what you're dealing with now with all of the new machinations in the state budget for the coming 2 years to the past 2 or 3 years. You're a district of what? About 4,000 students?
About 5,100 with preschool. About 4,800 K-12, 51 with preschool.
And you have how many teachers now?
We have about 430 teachers, 850 employees.
How much has that changed over the past 2 or 3 years? Have there been layoffs? Have there been cutbacks?
No, Harrisonburg, this is my second year, so I don't believe we've been in a position where we had to reduce staff. I know in the 2 years I've been here, there have been some positions that we did not staff as new positions due to the budget constraints. But we are not laying off folks, which is a positive thing, because many of the school systems that your listening audience lives in are doing that. We are, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, our greatest challenge right now really is our growth. And you cannot have... We budgeted for 4,417 kids for this year. We ended up with 4,740.
Almost 400 more kids than
about budgeted. 300 more students. And next year the state has us close to 5,000 just K-12. Forget the preschool that I just mentioned. So we know that with more kids comes more resources, obviously more staff, books, technology. Transportation, one of our budget things that went up next year, about $200,000, is transportation. You have more kids, you got to have more buses, you got to have more bus drivers. So that's why I'm a little disappointed that, from my perspective, that we really did not get into a statewide discussion and a great local discussion. Although I have to give Harrisonburg a real quick plug here, because even though the budget times are difficult, we're doing a middle school, two middle school and high school science, technology, engineering, math academy. We're continuing our expansion of
I wanted to ask you that. The new STEM middle school academy, science, technology, engineering, and math,
yes,
is for middle school students. You've had plans on the books for a while to open a new school that's focused on that. You're going ahead with those plans?
We are going to, it's going to be a school within a school at both at middle schools. Initially, we were only going to do it at one, but the parent and student response was extremely positive. So we're opening up two. We're opening up a high school one. We'll go for the governor's seal for a high school STEM diploma the following year.
So money problems have not kept you from going forward.
It's
with
reshuffling
those
money. I mean, you have to look at your priorities. I know I keep bringing back to the kids how wrong of me, but looking at what the kids could benefit from, we've expanded our elementary foreign language. We haven't cut in art and music.
I hear correctly, Dr. Kisner from Harrisonburg City Schools, that you have had over the past couple of years to do some reductions in certain kinds of materials and textbooks?
We absolutely, I don't know about a couple of years, but for this upcoming year, we are reducing money for, what happens is there's textbook adoption cycles, and the textbook adoption cycle, we adopted a math textbook curriculum. Most people would know it as Singapore math. So we are adopting but not purchasing.
So Billy Hahn in Albemarle County, assistant superintendent for that school district, compared to what you've got in funding coming for the upcoming year, how does it look to the past couple of years? What's been going on in Albemarle County over the past couple of years? Have there been program and budget cuts, staff reductions, teacher reductions?
We've had cuts, but we our school board and our superintendent, Dr. Moran, have been very adamant about not, as much as possible, not taking those cuts into the classroom. We have done a few things over the last couple of years.
Cutting the classroom, where are you cutting?
Central office. We've cut central office positions. We've cut in the last 2 years, last 3 years, we've cut 24 positions out of our central office. We have consolidated, for example, I am the assistant superintendent for student learning, but I'm also the division's health and PE and family life coordinator.
That used to be a separate position. That's now
that
your
used,
job.
That used to be a separate position.
And they didn't double your salary absolutely. When they gave you the new job, huh?
No salary double there. But you know, we have all kinds of, you know, the director of elementary education is also doing Title I and gifted. So everyone has additional duties, additional jobs. You know, the closest thing that we came to reducing teachers 2 years ago, we went to an 8-period day, which instead of a 7-period day, we had teachers teaching 5 out of 7 periods in an 8-period day. They teach 6 out of 8. So we did increase the teacher class load. But we actually were able to get through that. Of course, with 6 out of 8, you don't need as many teachers. But through attrition and teachers leaving and retirement, we did lay off a few teachers that year, but not a whole lot, actually.
Has class size increased in Albemarle County, Billy Hahn?
Class sizes have 2 years ago, they increased because in addition to going to 8-period day, we also, in grades 5 through 8, we implemented a class size increase as well. But for the this current school year and for next year, we have gone back and put some staffing back in, 17 FTEs each of the last 2 years, to try to reduce that class size.
FTE?
Full-time teacher equivalent.
Okay. And Scott Kisner is going to have to leave in a moment. So, Scott, before you do, to go back to your office at Harrisonburg City Schools, I want to ask you about what I think is one of Billy's favorite subjects. I know I can get him talking about this later. The effect of the state's standards of quality on what your school district has to deal with. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Okay, one of the things that the Superintendent Association was hoping, and it didn't really happen to the degree that we wanted, is to, for your listening audience, the standards of quality is basically the requirements that the state states that a school system must follow. These are minimum requirements. So, for example, one school elementary counselor per 500 children. How many students, if you have a certain amount of students, what type of, how many teachers you would have, what type of, you mentioned textbooks before, what the rotation is for the textbook adoptions. What I believe would be a better thing to occur is that each locality would have great flexibility in determining what is, so for example, we have a strong belief in Harrisonburg about physical education. How do I know that? Because at our middle schools, we have 5 physical education teachers. The standards of quality says you only need 2.2 for the size of the middle schools that we have. So the locality is picking up that 2.8% 100%. And so what we would have preferred in Harrisonburg is to shift the money, because when you hear the word state basic aid, that's all really your standards of quality money. I mean, there is.
But one of the things I think Billy's going to tell us from what I've heard from him before, and I want to double check with you, Scott Kisner, before you have to leave, some debate over the degree to which the state is requiring certain standards but not funding what you need in order to meet those standards. Is that accurate?
And I would give you a very specific example. I met with the high school principal this morning and central office staff to look at our potential dropout numbers for this year and the last 2 years. And quickly, there's a requirement that all high schools are held accountable for called on-time graduation, that kids are going to graduate in 4 years. I don't think anybody would necessarily disagree. I have some problems with it because if a kid graduates in 5 or 6 years, that's a lot better than dropping out. But saying that, let's go with the 4 years. It's a goal. It's a requirement. It's a state regulation. The question is, they have not put another dollar to making sure that's in place. So I just shifted two people from one of our middle schools to move to the high school for next year, because now I got to do really triage. That kids who are not coming to school, I don't want to discuss it at the principal's office. Go to the kid's house. Go knock on the door. Go find them on the street. See why they're not coming to school. Get them to school. Make sure they're learning. Hopefully they'll graduate with a diploma. That's about a $100,000 shift I did this morning, of taking two from the middle school, moving it to the high school, because they were very busy at the middle school. So my whole point is, it's a good goal. I don't think many of us would disagree with it. It's very easy to set goals if you're not planning to fund it. It's a lot different just when you are setting goals and then all of a sudden you have to fund it. And I think last year was a great example where this community and all 133 school systems took a very strong stance on requiring a certain amount of hours for PE at the elementary level. I don't think anybody disagrees that physical activity, if done right, is important. What we had a strong problem with was that they were basically mandating 150 minutes a week, but not at all stating, we're going to give you the resources so you could pay for 150
minutes.
This
was legislation that was proposed in the General Assembly earlier this year and did not get passed, largely because of the objections.
And Governor McDonnell vetoed it last year, and it was set again this year. So,
Dr. Scott Kisner, superintendent of Harrisonburg City Schools, has to leave us, but Dr. Kisner, thank you so much for making time for us. We still have with us here in our Harrisonburg studios, Bob Roberts, a specialist in public policy from James Madison University, and joining us via a studio hookup from Charlottesville, we have Billy Hahn, who is assistant superintendent for learning at Albemarle County Schools, and now joining us by phone from his desk at the Winchester Public Schools Central Office, that school division superintendent, Rick Leonard. Dr. Leonard, how's your school system looking as far as funding for the year ahead?
Well, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to join the conversation. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you for that, too.
We're in a little bit better shape than where we were. Most of the additional state money, very similar to other school divisions and certainly with my other colleagues, is going to be used to offset the expenditure relating to the VRS increase and then the VRS.
And again, for anybody who doesn't live in Virginia, who just happens to be listening or is not absolutely sure, whenever you're talking VRS, you're talking the state pension system, the Virginia retirement system.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Sometimes we get lost in acronyms, don't we? Really for us, the state money, we have some additional money as a result of our local composite index going down, which is the variable used by the state to determine a local community's ability to pay for a quality education. And as a result of that, we get more state money. And the second entity that we had that has helped us a little bit is that our student enrollment, or our average daily membership relating to student enrollment, has increased. So those two factors from the state, really regardless of what the General Assembly did, unless they changed the standards of quality, gave us some additional state money. The big thing that happened for Winchester this year is that our city council recognized that we were struggling in terms of the quality of education that that they expected, and they reinstituted additional money for us. They cut us a little over $2 million about 3 years ago as a result of economic recessionary pressures. And they were able to raise the real estate tax, and then designate additional money for schools. So from our locality, we're getting about $1.3 million more, which is really helping us a great deal in terms of addressing compensation issues for our employees, but also some student class enrollment issues as well.
This is Bob Roberts. How are you dealing with this dilemma created by the VRS? Your existing
Virginia retirement system.
Thank you. You are giving all your employees a 5% salary increase.
Well,
they're taking that money away, but I mean that.
Yeah,
but
we're making our employees whole. We the board
right.
Was able to actually give a 7.75% salary increase, of which 5.75% will go to offset the 5% on VRS and then the additional taxes, the FICA paid on that. So, in essence, we're made our employees whole, but also we're able to give them a 2% increase on top of that, which is designed to help them with the compensation that they have not gotten a raise in the last 3-4 years.
Okay, with respect to the new employees you're going to be hiring, new teachers,
Yep.
How are they going to come in terms of the salary scale?
We're going to change the salary scale to reflect the 7.75% increase.
Okay. So they are, in a sense, coming in at a higher where the existing employees are. In terms of,
relatively. Well, no, we do it a little bit differently. Okay. We get our school board approves the salary scale, a new salary scale for every job classification every year.
Okay.
Because our scales are skewed a little bit, and we're not able to do a cost of living and a step scale. And we don't really talk a lot about that because we don't have a really strong allegiance to that.
Okay.
So our board, historically, for many, many years, we just bring whole new scales to reflect whatever the average salary increase is.
Okay.
And then we will do some strategic compensation for a couple of job classification based on market conditions. For example, in information technology,
right.
If you're trying to find a technician, you may adjust your scale there. School psychologist is another place we may do a strategic compensation adjustment, some special ed needs, et cetera. And so... We find that annually we have to do that, so we don't link ourselves to an old scale because the scale of last year will be eliminated after the board approves a new scale.
Okay.
To you who are listening, Dr. Rick Leonard, who's on the phone line with us from Winchester City Schools at the moment, can only be with us for a few more minutes, so if you want to talk to him, this would be a good time to call 888-WMRA-TALK. Also with us through the end of the show, Bob Roberts, politics professor from James Madison University, and Billy Hahn, assistant superintendent with the Albemarle County Schools. And in just a few minutes, we're also going to be talking to the person in charge of Charlottesville City Schools. But wherever you are, we'd love to hear what you think, one, about what you've been hearing is going on at the state level with the delay in making decisions about the budget, as well as the new requirements, restrictions, increased amounts of money that the state says that local school districts have to pay. We also, if you've heard any news about what's been going on in your school district, I know places like Fluvanna and Greene County have had some fairly contentious school board meetings lately with citizens showing up expressing their concern. Wherever you are invited to join the discussion at 888-WMRA-TALK. So, to you, Rick Leonard at Winchester Public Schools, in the last couple of minutes that you're with us, what is the biggest challenge you see ahead for your school district in this current environment?
Well, one of the things that we were able to do with the federal stimulus dollars is that we put in a very extensive part-time temporary teacher workforce. In essence, we were hiring licensed teachers, either retired or teachers that with license who did not want to work full-time. And we put together a diagnosis prescription of how to help kids achieve. And we particularly targeted language arts and math at the elementary and middle school level, and then language arts, math, and science at the high school level, where these students were given additional time in smaller groups or individually to address their learning difficulties. The idea was that you don't have to learn material within a certain amount of time, and if you need more time, here's a way of giving you more time, and we'll also give you another teacher with this prescription of what you need to work on in order to attain mastery of the knowledge and skills within that particular content. That workforce grew to about $500,000 for our kids. We've had to cut that because the federal stimulus dollars are no longer there, and even though we are in better shape with the local money and with state money, we're still finding that we're not able to completely fund that. So that's going to hurt us a little bit. We're going to look at some other things once we get rolled into the school year and to see through a payroll turnover or differential if there's going to be some additional dollars to backfill that need.
Rick Leonard, superintendent of Winchester Public Schools. Dr. Leonard, thanks so much for making time for us.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
We continue here on Virginia Insight in just a bit more than 1 minute with Charlottesville City Schools. Billy Hahn is Assistant Superintendent for Learning at Albemarle County Schools. James Madison University Professor Bob Roberts is a specialist in public policy. And on the phone line with us now, Rosa Atkins, Superintendent of Charlottesville City Schools. Dr. Atkins, of all the school administrators we are talking to, I think you're the one who's been in your current post the longest. So how is this current budget situation that you are in Charlottesville looking to you compared to all the previous years that you've had to deal with?
Tom, thank you so much for allowing me to come on the show with you all today.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for your time.
I think I've been in Charlottesville for 6 years, and over the past 6 years, of course, we 4 years ago went into the deep dive with the economy, and we had to be supported with quite a bit of stimulus funding. And that helped us. It prevented many school divisions as well as Charlottesville. It prevented us from laying off multiple teachers and other staff members in our school division. The difficulty, however, with that, at the same time that we had stimulus funding put in place, we were also receiving decreased revenue from our state and federal government. And to compound that problem, our local government was starting to see a decrease in their revenue and the revenue that was available for funding schools. So all of that was happening at the same time. For the 13 budget that we've just completed, the stimulus funding was taken away, continued decrease in revenues from the state, and small decreases from the federal government, and still a local government that has decreases in revenues that they have been able to generate. So all of that's colliding at one time, making this the most difficult budget season yet.
This is Bob Roberts. How have your enrollment trends impacted your funding? I mean, have you been seeing a substantial decline in enrollment, or has your enrollment steadied? In terms of the other jurisdictions have been fairly steady. What's your situation?
Well, our enrollment for a number of years had been on a decline, and in the last 2 years we've seen it level off and become steady and actually increase slightly. Where we have experienced difficulty is in the sales tax revenue that we receive from the state. The General Assembly approved 2 years ago a new methodology for the distribution of the sales tax. And school divisions that are located in college towns were hit particularly hard because there were some students that we normally counted in our ADM and our student enrollment count that we were not able to count with the new methodology. And
yeah, let's get into that just a little bit, if we could, Dr. Atkins, because this actually affects a lot of places in Virginia where there are big university populations of students. So describe to us just what's going on here. It has something to do with it used to be that students, because they lived most of the year in a college town like Charlottesville, going to school at some place like UVA, were spending a fair amount of money so that the sales tax generated was seen by the state, the portion that comes back to the locality, could come back to you, to your schools. But now that's changed?
That has changed, and the impact of that change is actually a $1.1 million decrease in the sales tax funding. I'm going to let Ed Gillespie, our finance director, talk with you specifically about that methodology and how those changes actually impacted us.
Okay, Ed Gillespie from the Charlottesville City Schools, the finance director there. I also want to let you know, Ed, that Billy Hahn, who we mentioned before, started his career in education as a math teacher. Between the two of you, we're hoping you can go slowly about this so somebody who's as math challenged as I can understand. But Ed, thank you for taking the time to try to explain the situation to us.
Sure, sure, no problem. You know, the sales tax is one issue, really. Since 2009, Charlottesville has lost better than 34% of its state funding. So more broadly, there's definitely been a pullback in general in terms of state funding for K-12. But for specifically on the sales tax, as Dr. Atkins said, we were able to count in school-age population children between the ages of 5 and 19 who resided in Charlottesville. Of course, there's 18 and 19-year-olds who attended the university, lived in Charlottesville, that we were able to count for purposes of that distribution. The new methodology says you count those children in the home district of their parents. So we lost the value of all of those children in terms of sales tax distribution. So for us, since 2009, when the economy was strong, we've lost 43% of our sales tax, which is a huge number for any school district. And again,
Ed, what does that amount to again in terms of actual dollars?
About $2.3 million.
Out of a school budget that is how big?
The total school budget is approximately $70 million, and we've lost about $5.6 million of state funding. 34% of our state funding has disappeared since 2009.
Billy Hahn, with the Albemarle County School District, I would imagine that this might impact you a little because you've got some UVA students living outside of Charlottesville and in the county, but maybe not nearly as much as it's affecting the city?
Yeah, I'm sure it affected some, but I don't have those numbers. I'm not as well prepared with that one as Charlottesville is to be able to give you the numbers and the impact on that one. But, I mean, we're like everybody else. I mean, the state funding, like Dr. Atkins described, I mean, over the last couple of years, federal and state funding has dropped. And actually, our per pupil expenditure over the last 3 years has dropped $1,000 per student over the
last
couple
of years.
So what
are you spending now per student?
About 11,000, you know, at the same time. Now, this past year, we were sort of even on student enrollment, but
make sure that I understood you correctly. It's your spending amounts to the equivalent of about $11,000 per student?
Right.
And that
right.
used to be closer to $12,000.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In 2009, it was.
And Ed Gillespie, with the finance director with the Charlottesville City Schools, do you have those kind of numbers for your district, how much you're spending per student?
Our numbers are fairly similar to Albemarle's. We spend slightly more per student than the county does, but the kind of drop that Billy's describing is very similar to it.
So
to
you've dropped about $1,000 per student over the past couple of years, too?
It's going to be an approximation, but, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Now, the question,
is Bob Roberts.
The standards of quality, the composite index, is driven by a number of factors in terms of where.
Bob, just in case somebody's only recently joined in, why don't you explain, you can, in shorthand, what Virginia's composite index is when it comes to local schools?
Yeah, composite index was adopted a couple decades ago with the goal of redistributing state funds to those jurisdictions that needed the state funds the most. Instead of simply giving a jurisdiction a certain amount of dollars per student, a jurisdiction which was less well-off financially would get more money. And therefore, that fluctuates from biennium to biennium.
So, and biennium, of course, is the two-year
budget
that Virginia has.
Right.
Composite index, then, is a kind of calculation, a formula for determining how much money each school district gets from the state, and that formula is a composite of several different factors?
Correct. For example, real estate. If your real estate values drop, like they have in many jurisdictions, that would normally mean that your composite index score would go down and you get more money. If your real estate stays up, haven't dropped as much, your score would stay up and you would get less money. And then we have enrollment numbers. The more students you have, the more money you get. So the question is, how has the composite index change for Charlottesville versus your reduction in funds, the result of just having fewer students in terms of those relative variables?
So I'm guessing this is either for Ed Gillespie or for Rosa Atkins at Charlottesville City Schools.
This is Ed still on the phone here. Our composite index has, in fact, increased, and that description is right. It's a relative wealth indicator. It's your real estate values, your sales tax collections, and so on that raising and lowering based on what the state average is doing. So in Charlottesville's case, the increase in our composite index has been largely driven by Charlottesville as a economic area being slightly better off in terms of the economic impact than the statewide average. So due to that, our composite index has in fact increased. The higher the composite index, the more relatively wealthy you appear in the state, the less state money you get.
You know, one thing that's important to understand with the composite index, this is Billy Hahn, is that there's one pot of money.
Correct.
So, you know, if people go up, people go down, you don't necessarily get more money, you know, this year than last year, because it's how that pot divides out on a yearly basis. There's just not, you know, if more people have more need, that doesn't necessarily mean you get more money, because there's only a pot of there's this given pot of money that you divide up.
Right. But if, for example, this biennium, the $85 billion, the governor did try to restore some money. I'm not sure how much money actually was restored. But in terms of this cycle, in terms of those jurisdictions are being given less money, like Charlottesville is, I think for the listeners, it's interesting to find out why are they getting less money. Are they getting less money because of the composite index, or are they getting less money because of enrollment decline, or because there's just not enough state money to go around?
Well, at the Charlottesville City Schools, hold on just a second. Okay. If we could get Dr. Rosa Atkins back on the phone line with us,
okay.
Superintendent of Charlottesville City Schools. Dr. Atkins, just a few minutes before you joined the program, one of our guests here in studio, the superintendent of Harrisonburg City Schools, Scott Kisner, had to leave us. But one of the points that he kept coming back to was this sense that he had of disappointment that in all of the talk in the state capitol over the past few months, in the bitter political debate about what to do with the state budget, the fact that we are now 2 months late with the state budget because there was so much disagreement between Democrats and Republicans, especially in the state Senate. What Dr. Kisner seemed to keep coming back to was, despite all of that, what disappointed him most was he did not hear attention paid to what school students need. And I wonder, Dr. Atkins, if you have that same sense of what was missing in our political discourse, or if you thought that got appropriate attention.
Tom, I think what disappointed me the most is that oftentimes when the decisions were made this year, it seemed like there was heavy debate all around how much funding to allocate to the various programs. But no one really asked the question, what impact will it have on the schools? And a good example of that is that VRS discussion and the decisions that were made around VRS. It appeared to me that the General Assembly was poised to move the VRS 5% pass on, move that forward, without really considering the impact that it would have on the local school division. My school board and our school division and I sent a letter to the governor to say to the governor, wait a minute, it is not just you decreased our contribution to VRS by 5% and passed that 5% on to our employees, and that's a wash. There's a cost that's associated with it. And that seemed to be new information to the decision makers. I was very disappointed that no one had considered that. I was also disappointed that when we asked the question, what difference does this make in the VRS fund? No one can seem to answer that question. It doesn't decrease nor increase the VRS fund. So I'm at a loss as to the rationale behind making such a sweeping decision and a decision that has such great impact on school divisions without there being a real change somehow in the VRS fund.
That's an excellent question. Bob Roberts is our political prognosticator for Virginia. Do you have a sense of why the leadership in the state, particularly the McDonnell administration, decided to go this way in terms of, for the future, having local school districts pay this much more?
There is an answer. The answer is, if you look out years and if you assume that the school systems don't raise their salaries substantially, there's enough competition for those jobs that they can get these employees in at current level, then what happens is that you have more dollars going into VRS over time.
The state pension system.
State pension system. And you actually fund the pension system better. That's their theory. That you don't have, their assumption is that the school districts are not going to have to keep raising salaries to get teachers, which a lot of experts would say that's not the case. Then you bring in teachers at theoretically a frozen salary or the same salary. Money, the school systems are spending less of their money on the VRS system. And that's the theory, that over time it's going to be more funded with funds that the teachers are being paid with and not funds being provided by the government. Therefore, you can have less expensive government.
Billy Hahn with Albemarle County Schools, you have an addition to this of any kind?
No, I'm with Dr. Atkins. I mean, nobody really can really supply the answers about why you would do this. You know, because, again, I appreciate Bob's theory on the prediction on why they think that happened. I'm not sure that everybody agrees.
I agree.
That actually is going to happen.
I agree.
And I really don't know the math behind that one a whole lot. So I don't know whether that's just a prediction or assumption that that's going to happen. But I'm with Dr. Atkins. I mean, it was not a wash. It cost school divisions across the state a lot of money. Fortunately, our Board of Supervisors was able to pass an equalized tax rate, which gave us some more funds. We sort of saw this coming as a division. So, over the last couple of years, we've been pretty conservative with our funds and have some fund balance available. But, not every
division. But you're still down about $1,000 a student from a couple of years ago. And
absolutely.
We're just about out of time, so I want to toss this last question to Dr. Rosa Atkins. Just very quickly, Dr. Atkins, when the next General Assembly is considering budget matters, and they'll be considering addendums next year, what would you like them to do that you don't feel they've been doing?
I think the General Assembly has to take a look at it. They keep certainly communicating to school divisions that innovation, collaboration, and authentic work and authentic assessment is what's going to help prepare young people for tomorrow. Those are major changes in some of the activities that are going on currently. What's coming out of the General Assembly is putting us deeper into old methodologies for the delivery of instruction, for teaching and learning, that everyone is saying will not get us to the next step.
I'm so sorry we are out of time, but I do want to thank Billy Hahn, Assistant Superintendent of Albemarle County Schools, Bob Roberts, Professor of Political Science at James Madison University, and Rosa Atkins, Charlottesville City School Superintendent, for your time. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.